Rod by Tappan and Mosler by Warfront, as well as Frisian Fire, Maryland's 5/8 mile training track, completes the full service facilities from the folding barn to the racetrack. Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning to winning. Learn more at countrylifefarm.com.
The PA Horse Breeders Association introduces the Pennsylvania Stallion Series. Four brand new races to be run at Parks for PA-sired, PA-bred two-year-olds. There are two $100,000 contests on August 22nd. PA Day of the Races. September 24th, PA Derby Day, has two more races, each with a $200,000 purse. The PA Stallion Series. Yet another reason why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race. For more, please visit PABred.com.
Get your career in horse racing off to a fast start? Well, the University of Arizona's Racetrack Industry Program is your winning ticket. The Racetrack Industry Program has served as a springboard to some of the industry's most successful individuals, with a proven track record of job placement right out of college. If you want to earn a degree in the exciting horse racing industry, the Racetrack Industry Program can put you in the winner's circle.
Visit ua-rtip.org today.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Bleeder Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing, this is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
When you grow up, live like a good boy oughta. And your mama takes a shine to put their son. Something different, all the girls are seeming like you. Cause you're handsome, like the dog.
Back hour three on this Wednesday, and gotta love a little of that, a little getting our music back on the show. And it's great to have Bill Gallo back. Bill, good morning.
Good morning. Are we at Saratoga? I normally don't talk to you this time of year, but it's good to hear your voice, and I listen to your show all the time. Enjoy it immensely.
Well, Bill, I had to get to you because, you know, granted, I've got the services of the Clancy brothers and Tom Law rotating through on Thursdays. But with the launch of the revised NationalSteeplechase.com website and with things starting to, you know, really heat up, I wanted to get you in here. It's you know, the Temple Gwathmi on Saturday, and you got the Grand National on the Timberfront as well at Butler. So I thought, let's get Gallo in here.
Yeah. No, I'm glad that you called. we're a month into the season. We're rolling along. We're, you know, coming out of COVID, and we're doing very well. We struggled there for, you know, certainly in 2020, and came back in 2021, but now we're really rocking and rolling. Off to a great start for the season. A lot of good things happening. And this is a, you know, this is a big weekend. It's typically the Temple Guatemi is a grade two stake. It's a launching pad for the Iroquois, which is a grade one, in the second week in May. So, well, you know, a lot of good things happening. Got a lot of horses in training. We've got a very stout summer schedule we just published, actually, with a bunch of races at Colonial, and our Saratoga program is set with one race every Wednesday at the meet for 7 weeks in a row, and then we're going to go to hopefully Belmont on opening day, or Belmont or Aqueduct. I'm not sure where it's going to be, but that's our NARA commitment, which is great. And at the same time, we're going to be racing every Monday, two jump races every Monday at Colonial. And that schedule's up on our website. I'm glad you mentioned the website. We just launched it. It's gotten rave reviews in the last 3 or 4 days. Very easy to move around. A lot of information there. We've got the video archives, things like that. So, you know, we're having a great season. And everybody's upbeat. A lot of our horsemen have kind of refueled now that we're out of COVID. A lot of new names. You'll see a lot of new names. Even the standings themselves, you'll see Leslie Young is clearly in front so far, and Kerry Breon is jumping at a bit and right on her heels. And Jack Fisher hasn't won a race yet, but that'll change Saturday for sure, because he's coming out strong in this Temple Guatemi. He's got the two high weights and two exceptional horses, Snap Decision and Moscato. That ought to be fun to watch. And then there's the Mean Queen watch. I'm in my Fairhill office now, and if I look off into the horizon, she's, I think she worked today. I'm not positive, but I believe Breon was going to work her on the Tapita at Fairhill Training Center, and she's going to, I believe she's running Sunday in a point-to-point. That's a non-sanctioned race, and a flat race. She's going to tune up for the Iroquois. So she, the Mean Queen, looks like she's heading for the Iroquois on May 14th, and that should be really exciting because the horses running in the Guatemi here are prepping for that race. So it looks like another matchup between the Mean Queen and Snap Decision. Now you throw Moscato. He was the 2020 Eclipse champion out of the Fisher barn. So there's a lot of good stuff happening. Really exciting racing. I've just had two inquiries this morning. Actually, two horses nominated to the Iroquois. Two foreign horses. One called Winter Fog from Emmett Mullins, who you might know. He's the trainer of the Grand National winner recently. And then Nikki Henderson actually nominated a horse called Pistol Whipped. So we're going to get some international flavor to the Iroquois, and they're going to have to take on the Mean Queen and Snap Decision and Moscato, and that ought to be one heck of a race.
Well, and you know, you mentioned, I noted the overnights that came out for Saturday, and the field size obviously did step up from these first, you know, from some of the, you know, the Carolina and Georgia races that started the season. So you can really sense, and the weather, of course, I'm sure has kept some horses a little bit delayed, you know, getting rolling. But I can see that, you know, things are going to feed in. Here's this flat training race too, with what, 11 in there, that'll provide some horses going down the road.
Yeah, we weren't surprised by the smaller fields early in the season. It is early in the season. We had some winter setbacks on training, and it inhibited a few trainers. Also, the shipping. Shipping, I will tell you, shipping is becoming an issue, the cost of shipping. So these meets now in the Mid-Atlantic region are much more accessible for the Virginia, Maryland, Pennsylvania trainers. But we had some good racing, and more importantly, the race meets themselves, Aiken and Camden, and I just came back from Tryon, North Carolina, the blockhouse races. They had record crowds, literally. Aiken went to a brand new course.
Nice.
It was phenomenal. It had a huge crowd of about 25,000. Carolina Cup had about 30,000, the biggest crowd they've had in years. We actually were down in Ocala, too, believe it or not. I went down there on March 5th and to the Florida Horse Park, and we put on we didn't do it, but it was a non-sanctioned meet. Former jockey Archie McCauley put it together, and it was very popular. It was a non-sanctioned race. We had a couple of hurdle races and a couple of flat races. And the people that were there, a lot of the key people in the business were all there, and it was pretty exciting, and it's got a nice little future. So we're hoping to go back down to Ocala next year at some point with a proper sanctioned meet. So things like that. We're growing for sure, and there's a lot of enthusiasm right now for steeplechase racing in America.
It's tremendous, Bill, and I do have to ask you. You mentioned I don't want to look too far ahead, but one thing that I heard you say that my ears perked up coming out of the summer when you said the chance of running at Aqueduct. When was the last time steeplechase racing was conducted at Aqueduct?
I'd have to look that up, but it's had to be in their 70s. I'm going to say the early 70s. I have to check that. That's a good question. I thought of it one day, and I went to look it up and got distracted somehow. But it's been quite a while. You probably know more about that than I do. But last year, as you recall, might recall, we raced on opening day at Belmont. We had those two races, the Enemann and the Lonesome Glory. The Lonesome Glory is a key race for it. Both races are key, but that's a key race that kicks. You know, it's a prep. Ends up being a prep race for Far Hills. Which is our championship day, and both races feed into that, and it's the spacing is perfect because we go in Saratoga, we got the Grade One Smithwick, and a month later we have the Shepherd, and that leads right into the Lonesome Glory and then into the Grand National at Far Hills. So but if they're not racing at Belmont and they shift over to Aqueduct, I would hope that we'd be a part of that program. And next time I talk to you, I'll get the answer to that question. But I'm going to guess somewhere around 1970. It was before I started in 1977. It was before that because I've never been to Aqueduct to see a jump race. So I'm going to say mid-70s, early to mid-70s. But we used to do a tremendous amount of jumping at Aqueduct.
Harry, we're going to have to call on Harry Rice, and this may actually require Sonny. We may need Sonny for this.
Sonny would know.
Sonny may have raised the flag. He may have been out there being the flag man.
Sonny would know immediately. I could tell you that right now, but you know, it'll be fun.
I'd love it. Well, because
I hope if that's the situation. I'm not quite sure what the situation is, though.
Well, I've got a print that I think I bought on eBay. It's not a print, actually. I take that back. It's a win photo. I can't get at it until I get back from Louisville in 2.5 weeks. But I've got a picture, win picture, from a steeplechase race in the 30s at Aqueduct. And I want to say the stake was the Green Tree. Was the Green Tree a stake?
It probably was, yeah. That would make sense that it would be a stake. Back in the day, I mean,
it's got to be 36 or 37 that I've got.
Yeah. Well, there was a huge steeplechase program in New York in those days.
Well, Well, and an outgrowth probably Sheepshead Bay and Jamaica and, you know, that whole, I mean, right? Because that's how all the roller coasters, right, are where the steeplechase. That's,
the
Sheepshead Bay.
No, we have a rich history of steeplechase racing in New York that changed rather dramatically in the early 70s once OTB opened up. You know, then things, you know, changed for the worse for us, but and there was much less steeplechase racing. But anyway, we're still part of the history. The first year of Saratoga, there was a jump race, and we're still clicking along up there. So, but we've got a nice program when you look at our spring schedule, and then it flows right into the summer now with the Colonial and Saratoga, and then the fall we kind of bring it to a close in the fall with some really top-notch racing. So I'm very happy with the program that we have. And got a nice group of horsemen, got some young people, some new names, and, you know, Leslie Young, and some people I'm familiar with, and Carrie Brand, of course. And she put her name on the map, a former Shepherd assistant, had a phenomenal season last year. And then, of course, the Hall of Famer, Jack Fisher, who's, you know, dominated the game for the last decade. So got some real qualified people. They're bringing in some new owners. Both Leslie Young and Terry Breon have a lot of syndicates involved. So it's a lot of people. In fact, a lot of European people are dabbling in American steeplechasing now through syndications, and that's fun.
Well, and you know, it's funny. I'll probably bring Sean Clancy tomorrow, because I see that Sean and River D, they've got two in at Middleburg, and they've also got the horse that they're partnered up with Marshall Graham and Ten Strike running at. There's three. I should take that back. There's three Sean's got Saturday, and you know, he seems to be expanding. You know, the River D operation, you know, you mentioned what Carrie Breon's done, and, you know, she's put together, you know, not just the domestic partnerships, but, you know, she's trying to recruit out of, you know, out of Europe as well, and out of Ireland and so forth. I mean, there's a big demand. I mean, we need owners at every level in this game. Recruiting owners. And this is a different style, and it's a, you know, it's a style of racing that we just absolutely love, and anybody that experiences it, it's infectious. It just,
yep.
There's a certain gentility to it that just is so unique, and that's why we're constantly encouraging people to take part and experience it.
No, it's a nice option right now. And we've got some good young people and promoting it and talking about it and gathering up and finding those new owners. It's exciting. I mean, I look at an overnight now and I'm seeing a lot of new names and a lot of syndicate names, and that's all good. The more the merrier. And Sean's particularly good at it with his River D operation.
Cool.
You going to make it out to Iroquois? He always bugs you about going out to Iroquois. This would be the year to come.
Well, Bill, I invite everybody to visit the revised and freshened.
The Pons family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Country Life is nationally recognized for making stallions and curly stands, the Mid-Atlantic's leading first and second crop sires, Divining Rod by Tappan and Mosler by Warfront, as well as Frisian Fire. Maryland's 5/8 mile training track completes the full service facilities from the folding barn to the racetrack. Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning to winning. Learn more at CountryLifeFarm.com.
The PA Horse Breeders Association introduces the Pennsylvania Stallion Series. Four brand new races to be run at parks for PA-sired, PA-bred two-year-olds. There are two $100,000 contests on August 22nd. PA races. September 24th, PA Derby Day, has two more races, each with a $200,000 purse. The PA Stallion Series. Yet another reason why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race. For more, please visit PABred.com.
Get your career in horse racing off to a fast start? Well, the University of Arizona's Racetrack Industry Program is your winning ticket. The Racetrack Industry Program has served as a springboard to some of the industry's most successful individuals, with a proven track record of job placement right out of college. If you want to earn a degree in the exciting horse racing industry, the Racetrack Industry Program can put you in the winner's circle.
Visit ua-rtip.org today.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Leader Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing. This is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
I thought I saw a girl brought to life. She was warm, she came around, and she was dignified. She showed me what it was to cry. Well, you couldn't be that girl I adored. Don't seem to know, seem to care what your heart is for. But I don't know her anymore. There's nothing where she used to lie. The conversation has run dry. That's what's going on. Nothing's fine, I'm torn. I'm all out of faith. This is how I feel. I'm cold and I'm shaking. Lying naked on the floor. Illusions never changed into something real.
Wide awake. Well, we're back. I apologize to Bill. Because I got dropped here again. And we're going to, you know, got to learn how to alleviate some of this. Right now, I got nice three Wi-Fi bars. So it's a new concept. And I suppose I got to build in some redundancy. I got a line on a thing called the Nighthawk, which is from Netgear, which is, you know, kind of a hotspot walk around, and so it's not like you're relying just on ambient Wi-Fis, but I hear Seth. Seth is my technical guru because he's certainly better at it than I am. Seth Merrow, good morning.
Good morning. You're stepping up from a normal hotspot?
Well, I think it is a little bit more. I think there's a little bit more involved in it. A guy, when I was in Vegas for the one last August, one of the tech people there, we were discussing, and he showed it to me. And you know, you need a subscription to whoever, for service. And I think AT&T actually, and it would be, you know, it would basically be like a redundancy, I guess, right? If I'm using, you know, let's say I'm at a, you know, at the racetrack, let's say I'm at Churchill next week, and, you know, their Wi-Fi, you would think, is going to be very stable and robust. You know, here I'm at a small, you know, we're at the small beachside thing, and, you know, they have three different feeds, and I was hopeful that this unit, you know, I got a new unit. You'll see it next time I see you, probably Belmont, and it works on Wi-Fi. I don't need to be plugged into a wall anymore.
Oh, yeah. The technology really fairly recently has changed, and so we have a, you know, a hotspot, and, you know, for Capital TV, they have a thing that goes on the back of the camera now. We've had it for a few years at this point, but it used to be like the Gulfstream trips. We'd go down, and we would use Gulfstream's satellite feed, which we still do because that's technically easier and whatnot. But subsequently, we've gotten this little attachment to the back of the camera and use a hotspot, and essentially some of the track trips we've made, we're using the hotspot and Wi-Fi. Straight out of the camera, which if you watch local news a lot, you'll see the whatever local news channel it is, they have their storm van riding around, and it took me a while to figure out how are they broadcasting live video while they're driving around. They would say, hey, look how it's snowing out the front of the windshield. Well, shortly after that, we got the little piece for the back of the camera, but that's what they're doing. They just have the attachment to the back of the camera, and it goes through the hotspot, and off they go.
Interesting.
But you're right. For what you're doing, to have a little redundancy and to have some kind of backup, great idea.
Well, and this unit, and it's the same company that we, you know, I used for that. I knew I had to do something. Where was I? I think it was, it might have been in Baltimore, and or was I in Florida? Somebody said, "Oh wow, you're using one of those vintage Kodaks." And I was like, "Vintage? What do you mean vintage?" And I thought to myself, "I've been saying to myself, we're gonna go to this next generation equipment." They said, "All right, it's time to do it." And there's some fun things. Long term, we'll be able to. I'm going to go next week when I go to Horseshoe, Indiana, to Indianapolis. The company Tyline is in Indy, and so they're going to give me a kind of walkthrough one afternoon. I'll drive up from Louisville after the show, and they're going to give me a little, you know, tutorial on it because it's got more bells and whistles than I'm capable of, you know, picking up off the handbook. I mean, I sent the link to Casey. The online manual is 475 pages.
but this stuff has really changed very quickly. I mean, it was just a few years ago, and you know where our trailer is up at Saratoga. I mean, so it was just a few years ago, we had a piece on the back of the camera that if we wanted to shoot something from the front side at Saratoga, it had to be line of sight. There was an antenna that had to be line of sight back to our trailer on the back stretch. But this does away with all that. You know, I'll just carry around the hotspot and the little attachment to the back of the camera, and really we can go wherever we want to go. And that doesn't just, you know, pertain to Saratoga. It pertains to all over. Like I say, some of the track trips we've made, that's our only source of sending the video out, the hotspot.
Well, I'm joining the modern tech world, but I'm also when things go awry, I'm a little helpless a lot of times. You know, I quickly try to come up with an answer and react to it. But I don't always know, what to do. And when we used to have the old wiring was a nightmare. I mean, not that I had to do anything for that. But the settings, you'd have to change settings within the machine, and this is actually very easy because it's got a touch screen and all that. So I'm long term we're gonna be good, and we had a terrible problem 2 months ago that knocked out a ton of equipment. I mean, ruined the mixing board and the phone system. So we're rebuilding from that. Casey's got a lot of stuff that's, we're still rebuilding. I mean, this is a step in an exciting direction. And of course, the direction, Seth, leading toward Derby. I got three more days here in Florida. Tina enjoying vacation, and I'm sort of along for the ride.
I'm envious because winter returned up here a couple of days ago. So I
heard.
The warm. Yeah, that was just absurd. Snowstorm a couple of nights ago. Yeah, crazy. So I'm envious of the warm. Yeah, so take advantage. And I'm also envious of you're going to church. I mean, Kentucky Derby is one of the events I've never been to, and I'd like to go at least experience one. But it particularly this year, it's shaping up to be just such a fun weekend, Oaks and Derby, and things are kind of shaking out now. Jay Privman had the article in the Racing Forum today talking about, bubble horses kind of waiting on early voting and Morello. So we'll see, we'll get a feeling. It sounded like Morello, they want to work over the weekend before they decide. So by the time we get to the weekend, certainly next Monday, things will be all firmed up and we'll be ready to go. But shaping up to be a really great Derby.
Well, we do have to get you. We got to get you to, if you can go to Vegas for NHC, then you can, it'd be a natural to have Seth live at the Downs.
Yeah, it'd be fun. I'm game. I'm totally game. Get the experience, no question about it, because, that is one on the American racing calendar, that's certainly one of the big days. And so, got to check that off.
What are your thoughts going in? I've been starting to hear. In fact, Mig seems like he's got his trifecta box ready. He's seemingly locked in. I mean, he said I've got Epicenter and Mo Donegal and Xander. He seems set. And I made the point yesterday, talking to Papo Morales, that one thing you just cannot do is either have a negative opinion of a horse from the from the lead up that just has wormed its way into your brain, and you've got a bias against before they even line them up, before they even have a draw, and you've beaten yourself potentially already because you have a negative impression of a horse that might have been undeserved. That's got to be fully reevaluated. So I'm curious from that standpoint. And you're somebody that that invests in the future wagers, so you're forming opinions the whole way. I mean, literally from the full 4 or 5 month lead up from late in the 2-year-old season till now.
Yeah, and I'm happy to have jumped in and gotten literally all others in the last couple of pools that will include Messier. Certainly that is fun, and maybe a couple others, again, as we shake things out. But you're totally right. You can start to form opinions. You can't solidify at this point. Over the next couple of weeks, you're going to see what Mike Welch says, looking at workouts in the morning and whatnot, because workouts can change a lot one way or the other. Somebody can look fabulous, or somebody can just come in with high expectations and just seem like they're not on it. And you have to take that into consideration. And obviously, the Kentucky Derby, really more than any other race, the post positions are going to make a big difference, too. So you don't want to get locked in and then wind up, hung in the 20 or the 1, or and then you're kind of stuck. But you and I were talking last week about simplification. I think that horse is kind of fun. I'll play around with him. I like the logicals of the horses who came out of the races most recently, obviously, but also going back to Epicenter. So Epicenter, Zandon, Mo Donegal, I like all of them. Tis the Bomb, I actually think could be interesting, you know, of horses that I might play around with. I kind of like Cyberknife, but I think when it comes to Derby Day, I'm probably not going to pull the trigger there of that type of horse, where I'm kind of like, one way or the other, I may tilt a little more towards Charge It, who I've liked a little bit lightly raced, perhaps too lightly raced, but I just have a feeling there may be some upside there in that one, a little bit interesting to me. Pioneer of Medina, if that horse makes it in, and that's a bubble horse right now, but if that horse makes it in, Pioneer Medina, like Simplification, comes out of a third-place finish, and that's going to muddy up the picture a little bit for some people, so I think the odds will be square there. But Pioneer Medina is another one that I could play around with a little bit. I'm not too convinced on the Lexington results. I don't think anything out of there is going to attract my attention. Morello is a horse I liked in the Wood Memorial. That's one of the horses that will make a decision over the next week or so. Even if he gets in, like I said, I liked him in the Wood Memorial. And there was an excuse there, but still, I don't know whether a sixth-place finish, even with an excuse, is a race you want to kind of hang your hat on going into the Derby. So, you know, I'm kind of forming opinions, but waiting for the next week and a half or so for workouts and post positions or whatnot before things absolutely firm up.
Yeah, I on a daily, you know, on a daily basis, I'll keep thumbing through and going back to the prep race charts. I'll go back and literally on daily now from, you know, here up till draw, and then of course once the draw, but try to either reinforce a positive opinion. I mean, if that's the way you're leaning, or be sure to not make a mistake and be utterly dismissive. That was one of the parts of the exercise today with Sid, where I wanted to go through pedigree. You know, we typically on the prep trail we end up talking about the winners of the prep races and their pedigrees. The ones that, you know, that don't win and make it in on points a lot of times, but didn't win. I mean, Barbara Road is getting plenty of attention, you know, as a late running type that, you know, could be a Steppenwolfer and be on the back end of your, you know, your try or your super. That kind, you know, you get that kind of conversation. But two horses that came up today, Zozos behind Epicenter, and Summer Is Tomorrow, the second behind the Japanese runner, who's getting all the attention, and you know, everybody's focused on Epicenter. There's plenty of attention about Crown Pride because he's at Churchill, and it's always fascinating to watch the Japanese, you know, preparations for, you know, for these North American assignments. But the two horses that ran behind those two, they raced a mile and 3/16 pretty successfully. Summer Is Tomorrow, that was his first time going long. He had never been beyond 7 furlongs. And he stretched out successfully to a mile and 3/16. Nobody's talked about him. Zozos this morning, I loved the way he was just, you know, prancing down the stretch at Churchill, just galloping out, coming out of apparently a schooling session in the paddock at Churchill. So you know, these are horses that don't get the discussion, they don't get the attention, and you know, then when they finish somewhere in the, you know, in the pay slots, you're like, who's this horse? How did I miss this horse? What did I miss about him?
Both of the horses coming in from that UAE Derby are both really intriguing. I just, again, that's one of those that's going to be a leap for me to play either one. I guess it'll depend on the odds, and I don't know if I'd put either one on top, but certainly at an underneath spot. But I'm going to be interested to see what Crown Pride gets as far as odds. As you say, there's a little buzz and whatnot, but part of that is justifiably the Japanese runners internationally the last, 6 months going back to the Breeders' Cup have just been insane. And so I'll be curious to know, I think the everyday better, and there's a lot of those in the Derby, are just going to be unaware of that. But bettors in the know, I'm wondering if the horse will lose a little bit of value because of that. Now, the horse that finished second, Summer Is Tomorrow, I think is going to hold some value in that. I don't think foreign runners are going to attract as much attention as maybe they deserve. And so, yeah, they're both probably worth taking a look at underneath if the odds hold up.
Well, the funny thing about Summer Is Tomorrow is, he's a North American pedigree. It just so happens that he ended up in far-flung hands and was campaigned in Dubai. I'm anxious to see him on the racetrack. Obviously, it's a horse you would, at a glance, if you didn't look at the PPs, if you just looked at pedigree, you'd think, this looks turfy, this horse. But he's done nothing but run on the dirt. So let's see him in the flesh. I know what I need to know about, some of the other longer priced types in here. I don't need a full workup and closer examination on Barber Road and Un Ojo. Speaking of horses that are probably going to get play that is disproportionate to their likelihood. Un Ojo, who does have an excuse coming out of the Arkansas Derby, he's going to get the one eye conversation. There'll be all that publicity and the one eyed horses. God bless them. But they always end up, they just get overplayed. I mean, it's impossible for them not to, almost.
Yeah, that'll definitely be a story. And as you say, that'll pull into taking some action, no question about it. And you make a great point. The two horses coming over from Dubai maybe become a little more intriguing, getting the reports on the workouts and whatnot over the last couple of weeks. So if there are some works to take a look at, that may give a thumbs up or a thumbs down a little more on those two and lead into play or play against.
Well, we got two more sessions, Seth, to get whittled down and work on that from Louisville the next time we speak. Got to turn our attention to some action on the racetrack. And what have you been doing? You've been playing. Have you transitioned away from the winter mindset and shifted gears up to Keeneland?
I have. Enjoyed Keeneland again. That first opening Friday, we had the bankroll that hit a nice pick four. We have another bankroll coming up at Capital TV on Friday. So let's see if I can repeat the results, but I've been playing some pick fours as well, and it's been fun. I mean, it some of the results are kind of skull busting, and those are always a little bit depressing. You look and you think, I couldn't have played that one with somebody else's money. But there have also been some of those opportunities when you look and horses are playable at a price. And so I think overall the meet's been a lot of fun. So yeah, I have played some Kentucky, although I am still plugged into some of the winter tracks. I really like Oaklawn. I always have liked Oaklawn, so playing some Oaklawn as well and some Tampa. But I have shifted a lot of attention to Keeneland, as I think a lot of people have. When you look at both Keeneland and Oaklawn, when you look at some of the purses they're putting out there, and it's just for people like you and I that have been around for so long, you look at these maiden races for $100,000 and allowance races for $140,000. I mean, it's unheard of. It's just insane at both of those venues.
Well, at Oaklawn, it's one thing because, the the way the purses are funded. In Kentucky, and like at Kentucky Downs, you do have, you know, the development fund money, you know, the added Kentucky bonus money. So it's not universal in terms of the purses, but it's plenty gaudy. And what, 70% of the horses out there are Kentucky breds, but you know, the base purse to start with, and then when you add in the development fund money, it is amazing. I mean, the other day, who were we talking to? I was talking to some trainer and about a spot, and I said, "Oh, $130,000 purse," and he said, "Yeah." That's, I don't know if it might have been Wesley Ward, but it was like, holy cow! I mean, you got stake money basically for a non-winners at two lifetime.
And now I'm trying to think, because I did the afternoon show and had the same thought, and it may have been, maybe we're talking about the same horse, because it might have been a Wesley Ward horse. There was a horse the other day where I thought, why is this horse in this spot? And when you looked quickly at the conditions, and then, yeah, you looked up at the purse and you thought, oh, okay, I get it. Now I understand.
Listen, yeah, exactly. Let's pay some bills.
Oh, it was Baby Yoda, who was in like a crazy starter allowance. A 10,000 starter allowance. You think, what's he doing? And then you looked up at the purse and like, oh, okay, so it's kind of a paid workout. That's what it turned out to be.
Exactly. You're right. Well, I mean, he's a gelding. He's not going anywhere. So, that group, every dollar that ownership group makes, they're going to go out and they're going to buy another horse. there's only one thing they do with their earnings, buy more horses.
So it's all, life is a big cycle.
What did you look at today? Give us a couple of plays.
I got the late pick 5 at Keeneland, or late pick 4 at Keeneland, starts in the 5th. I can take a look at that. I'm 4x2 by 4x3, and I think these sequences, it's tough to pare down, but the ticket is, you know, I think affordable there. Starts in the 5th race. It is one of those starter allowances, a mile on the grass. I have a 2, 8, 9 and 1 Ewens on top. Goes out for Joe Sharp. Comes up from Fairgrounds. Comes in off a couple of nice second place finishes, but the buyers have been moving in the right direction. I think this one's primed for a decent effort, so use that one. Viburnum, the number 9 horse, 8-1. Hasn't been seen since last October, but that was in the Dowager. So they've tried some stakes races with this one, had some high hopes on occasion. I think at this level, probably a better fit, although did run well in the Kentucky Downs stake 2 back. But again, the question mark's going to be the readiness off the layoff. The workouts seem okay. I think if this one is ready, we'll be in the mix. Dreamful goes out for Brad Cox, has some positional early speed, comes in from Turfway, has some turf races underneath that are okay, including the last time on the turf, a decent second last October. But again, more recent form over on the synthetic at Turfway in decent form. So I think that one is one that has to be in the mix. And then Golden Voice goes out for Mike Maker, coming in from Turfway. I think the Turfway horses can add some value to plays. It seems like the last few years they've run decently at Keeneland and oftentimes get a little bit overlooked. So in the opening leg, going 2, 8, 9, and 1.
Well, and I got to tell you, I really only looked closely at the 7th, at the feature, but those, just glancing at this, those feel like the right 4.
Yeah, and if we can get the price on by Burnham, I think that could be an intriguing player in the
cool.
mix.
All right.
6th race, I have a 2, 3, 7, and 6, but again, to keep the ticket affordable, I went with the 2 and the 3. The 2 beep beep, 5-2, and comes off a try down at the Fairgrounds, and again, they had some high hopes for this horse early on, showed some promise, and they tried the Risen Star last year, 2021, didn't run well in there behind Mandaloon off since, but I thought the comeback was okay, drops in for a tag today, and could be kind of live, and then I used Drop Anchor for Brendan Walsh. Brendan Walsh going pretty well. You go back to Florida Derby weekend, it seems like. He wound up the Gulfstream meet nicely that day, and then continued on at Keeneland. So prep anchor playable as well. So only go two deep in there with the two and the three in race number six.
All right.
Number seven, I'll be interested to hear your thought if you took a look at this, because at the top of the page I have written in big letters, wide open. And so I'm four deep again in here. I went 6, 8, 10, and 4. I originally had the 14 on top. That one was out on the AE list. That one wound up getting scratched. So I move up TD Dance, who obviously has some nice stakes wins on the resume. But I thought the Fairground season was okay for Brad Cox, and I thought fit nicely with this group, so could be primed for a good effort on the move up to Keeneland. Second slot, I went with Invader for Wesley Ward. New Year's Eve at Turfway was the last race, but I thought the workouts underneath were okay and seemed to indicate the horse could come back ready to run, and if so, the horse is certainly in the hunt far more often than not. Beacon Hill, Mike Maker runner, hasn't been seen since last October, but another one that five exacta finishes and eight starts, so I think this one, if ready, is certainly one you have to put in the mix, and then Camp Hope for Ken McPeak. Another one that hasn't been seen since last year, so there's some horses that are going to have to prove their fitness, but I certainly think they have some class. So for me, 6, 8, 10, and 4, what did you think of the 7?
Well, and you hit on, you know, all the players that make plenty of sense. Glynn County is a horse that I respect plenty from Maker, and at 12-1, that's a pretty inviting number. I was surprised, actually, because I printed these without morning lines, and then when the morning line came back, I was like, wow, all right. I don't know if that's going to hold. There's been lots of derision over the Keeneland morning line. I'll tell you who got my attention at 8-1 midfield, Gray's Creek. Paulo Lobo, who, you know, I think the world of, and just so pleased with his, you know, with his success. Coming off a layoff, which is something that he does really well, and I imagine this veteran comes out running, has a win at Keeneland, which you always like to see, you know, given the, you know, that sand-based course that not every turf horse takes to. So Gray's Creek at 8-1 and Glynn County, I thought made a lot of sense. McPeak's horse, you know, but 3-1, meh, in this kind of a field, you want better. And, you know, if Get Her Number had drawn better, I'd have been a little bit more interested. I think Santana's going to... Oh, ended up scratched? 11, okay.
Yeah, the 11th out, yeah. But I'll add Pine Knoll for Brad Cox, Ian Wilkes with Street Ready. Argentello, the 13, gets in. I think that one's playable.
Oh, he does get in. Okay.
Yeah, I could literally point to everybody in the field and make a case.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Wow. All right.
Biscuits is named on board. There's a jock change on the 13. Biscuits is on board.
Well, that's intriguing because, wow. All right. Argentello. All right, so I tell you what I'll do then. I'm going to give me the 3-7, 3-7-13 then. All right, for me.
All right, I'm writing it down. I'll give you credit on TV today.
There you go. Thank you.
I said it's the big play, because if it comes in, you got to get credit. Because I would think the odds, I don't know that'll hold up exactly, but I think you're going to get value. I think you're going to get value almost anywhere here. I'm kind of questioning the 3-1 on Camp Hope, because I'm with you. I think I got that one down at the bottom of my mix. That is not the horse I'm leaning towards on top, and I think betters will be that way as well. So even the short price on the morning line, I think, is going to offer some value.
Well, that closes out. The anchor leg is a maiden 20 with, what do we have, 3 first-time starters.
I'm 4, 9, 11, and 8, but I'm just going to use the top 3, the 4, the 9, and the 11. Lapis Lazuli, if I have that right, by More Than Ready. The 3 starts down at the Fairgrounds, 2 of them were off the turf. I thought all 3 of them were okay. The buyer has been progressing nicely, now drops in for a 20 tag. I think the class relief is going to be kind of key here. Lunar Rocket, another one coming in from the Fairgrounds, a mix of dirt and turf. down at the fairgrounds. Again, all of the starts have been okay for Brad Cox, and seems logical. And with this 20-claiming group, same scenario for the Dallas Stewart runner, drops in for the tag. Art Heist, the number 8, I think can be playable as well. So I'm looking for three that are getting a little... Oh, Art Heist actually just missed my mix. I use Hearns in the mix, the outside run of the 11 coming in from Turfway. I have a pretty good-looking effort, pretty solid number. Again, question mark on the dirt, but I thought you might get some value there, 6-1 on the morning line, so I actually used that one instead of Art Heist. Again, I had it 4-9, 11-8, but I used the 4 and the 9 and the 11.
Very good. So what are we looking at? We got a 9, we got a $36 ticket?
More, it was 40, it's 4 by 2 by 4 by 3. What's that, 16 times 48. Yeah, right.
All right. Read that out then, Seth. Give it a quick read.
All right. Starting in the fifth race, 2-8-9-1 with 2-3 with 6-8-10-4 with 4-9-11.
All right. So
I'll tweet it out later too. I'll tweet it out.
Good. All after right. I got it. All right. We got to cure you. We got to, maybe it's just me, but I always give the numbers in numerical, you know, from low to high.
Oh, well, I do it because if people are kind of listening and thinking I'm putting my own ticket together and I'm not on the same wavelength as you, I write them in the order that I prefer them. So people, yeah, but yeah, it is easy. It's probably easier for people to digest if you do it in a numerical order.
But that's the beauty. You give them out on the front end in order, and then the ticket 1-2-8-9 by 2-3 by 4-6-8-10 by 4-9-11. Seth Merrow. We will talk to you next week from Louisville, from Churchill Downs.
Sounds good. Travel safe. Say hello to Tina. Enjoy the rest of the vacation. Again, I'm envious, and good luck to everybody today.
Seth Merrow, everybody. Capital OTB TV, and interesting that it's funny that's how competitive that seventh race. I'm anxious to hear what Gus's thought is, and because this seventh was the race that I only printed two races at Keeneland, the seventh and the fourth with the 2-year-olds. So let's see what Gus has got for us. Gus, good morning. Well, is that not Gus? No? Case, do you got Gus there or no? I thought it sounded like there's some Gus on the line, no? No, you don't, I guess you don't have him. All right. Oh, well, then here, let me start in. If we get him, we'll get a quick hello in. We got about 3-4 minutes. But... here's what Gus put together, and actually he's got, just putting it up at the website, and he added in that first leg of the pick five, the fourth race, which is that 2-year-old maiden special. A very tricky scenario at Keeneland today where the fourth race is part of, you know, both big multis, both pick fives incorporate the maiden race. Gus is playing around with four of them in that maiden special, the 3, 6, 10, and the 13, which was the horse that we talked about with Wesley. There's Gus now. There we go. Gus, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. How are you doing?
Good. Sorry to be late getting to you. Hit the highlights. Hit the highlights on your action today.
Yeah, nice card at Keeneland here. I'm focusing on the lead action. I'll go to race 5. My live long shot here is a 6, a Zoo. This horse here drops, reunites with Leperu. Obviously, the 1-for-16 kind of sticks out, but there's a lot of underneath finishes here. The barn does pretty well here with layoff types. I'm projecting a stocking trend. 10-1 morning line, I think it's more than fair. Anything over 8-1, I think it's worth a plunge here with number 6, a Zoo, in race 5 at Keeneland. If you want to make it
excellent,
a double, let's go to race Race 6 with a double. I'm on the 8 horse here. Kobe B, he's going to be my best bet. He's coming off a dominating win at Turfway last time. I'm not sure what kind of horses he beat over there, but I'll tell you what, he did it very impressive, and it was a trouble trip. I think those that want to look at the replay will see that. I mean, he was much the best that afternoon. He had a nice sharp bullet work at Churchill Downs last week. Off, you know, maybe it's a second time Lasix that might do the trick as well here. And I see Lannery, he's hopping aboard. He's riding well. And I think he's going to sit right behind the pace. And that seems to be the winning move so far at the Keeneland meet. I think he takes over late. 5-1, I think is more than fair. I think he might come down a little bit, but he's my best bet. Number 8, Colby B, in race 6 today at Keeneland.
What'd you do in the 7th, Gus? Seth Merrow and I just talked about it. I thought it was absolutely crazy. The 7th has got a million possibilities.
I feel entirely the same way, and I'm on the 12th, Street Ready. He's actually 30-1 morning line. I know there's been a couple of weird morning lines so far, especially where Cheryl Spite, that really really stands out last week in the maker's mark. But this one here, I don't see 30-1. I see maybe half of that. But I'm on the 12th, Street Ready. I do think that race is wide open as well. We do get the return of one. Wow. Like the King is kind of interesting to me, too.
Well, and I thought that Paulo Lobo coming back with Gray's Creek as well.
Yes.
I think is going to be, yeah, square price. Lobo, terrific. Yeah, bringing horses back. Now it's a fun sequence. The maiden 20 as the nightcap, it doesn't excite me. But
yeah. I respect the 4 here, Lapis Lazuli.
That's what Seth liked.
Yeah, it finally gets off the rail. The rail, you know. It was the trouble, and you got Joe Talamo. Joe will go, so I think this one has a chance to stick around.
Gus's whole set of plays today for the Pick 5 up at the website literally in 10 seconds. Gus, I appreciate it. We'll talk next week. Talk to you from Louisville.
Sounds great. Have a safe trip, Steve.
I appreciate it. Gus Alonzo, everybody. Bogey 1967, and of course, Brisnet on Saturdays. Thanks to Gus and Seth and Bill Gallo and Sid for a terrific Sire Watch Pedigree Focus brought to you by Hill & Dale. Jessica Martini at the sale, which is well underway. Talk to you tomorrow, Thursday, at the races.
This is with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
The Pons family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Country Life is nationally recognized for making stallions and currently stands the Mid-Atlantic's leading first and second crop sires, Divining Rod by Tappan and Mosler by Warfront, as well as Frisian Fire. Maryland's 5/8 mile training track completes the full service facilities from the folding barn to the racetrack. Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning to winning. Learn more at countrylifefarm.com.
The PA Horse Breeders Association introduces the Pennsylvania Stallion Series. 4 brand new races to be run at parks for PA-sired, PA-bred two-year-olds. There are 2 $100,000 contests on August 22nd, PA Day of the Races. September 24th, PA Derby Day, has 2 more races, each with a $200,000 purse. The PA Stallion Series, yet another reason why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race. For more, please visit PABred.com.
Want to get your career in horse racing off to a fast start? Well, the University of Arizona's Racetrack Industry Program is your winning ticket. The Racetrack Industry Program has served as a springboard to some of the industry's most successful individuals, with a proven track record of job placement right out of college. If you want to earn a degree in the exciting horse racing industry, the Racetrack Industry Program can put you in the winner's circle.
Visit ua-rtip.org today.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Bleeder Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.